Ask the Siyata Dishmaya before we begin our even Nizman. It's important also, just we have mentioned this as well. When you strive, you know, and you grow, it's important to make a commitment in the beginning of Nizman, beginning of, especially a time like this in Elul, to aspire for greatness. Not just to say, I'll get by, I'll tread water. That's also something, especially if you have a tremendous amount of nisyonos. But it shouldn't be as if for the Havamina at the beginning, it's simply, you know, we'll get by. If that's how you're feeling now, then probably we'll end up drowning. You know, you have to aspire for greatness. You have to set goals for yourself. It says in the Pasuk in this parasha, V'sanach Hashem l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. And we say a tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, Sheniyah l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. So l'rosh v'lo l'zanav is not just poetic license, but actually there's an idea there. L'rosh v'lo l'zanav, l'rosh in every way. Not a zanav in any respect. Like the Ramban writes, it could be a rosh for some nations and not for others in the context of Kal Yisrael. So no, l'rosh v'lo l'zanav, you're first and you're ahead, and there's nobody ahead of you. The Nitziv says you could be a rosh in one respect and not in other respects. You could excel in one thing, not in the other. No, l'rosh, in every respect you're a rosh and you're not a zanav. So it's important, you know, elitism is not per se a bad thing. It's important to aspire to be second to none and to excel and to set goals. Of course, you have to also be realistic. And one of the challenges, of course, when you have this kind of striving for excellence is that you also couple it and balance it with a proper sense of anava. You know, an environment like this can be very competitive, you know, both Hain in terms of the learning, and with the Kodesh in terms of the college, there's always this emphasis of honors and more and more and more, and that's good. At the same time, we should also recognize that, especially before Rosh Hashanah, one of the most basic midos that we should also be aware of and working on is anava. And the Mesil Sishar ironically says in the Perek on anava that part of why a person gets anava is to recognize that as much as we think we have so much, we have everything, we don't have everything. There are always things that we're not as good at. And it's humbling to recognize that. And to recognize even if you have so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you for a reason. It's not just that I have it and therefore I can feel proud for the sake of feeling proud. It's for the sake of being able to ultimately use it for the right purpose. So again, the balance of Vayigba Libo B'Darchei Hashem, to be able to aspire, to be able to steig in learning and to grow and to really make that kind of commitment that's required of us. At the same time, not to feel as if somehow it's all about me, not to look down at other people, to balance it with the proper midah of anava. So again, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmaya, that we should be able to accomplish all of the goals that we have. We should be able to face the nisyonos that we certainly will face in this kind of an environment, certainly, to be able to grow in terms of our own avodas Hashem, in terms of our abilities in learning, and we should be zochet to all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachos and siyata dishmaya. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ketzad mivarchin al haperos. The Mishnah poses a question. The topic of this parak is, of course, Birchas Hananin. The earlier part of Masechta Brachos dealt with tefillah, Kriya Shema tefillah. Now we're speaking about brachos. And the Mishnah introduces the question as a question, how do you make brachos on peros? So the Mishnah goes on to tell us, al peros ha'ilan hu omer bori priya eitz, chutz min ha'yayin, sh'al ha'yayin hu omer bori priya gofen. So there's peros ha'ilan, fruit of the tree, the bracha for that is ha'eitz, with the exception of yayin, where you make ha'gofen. Al peros ha'aretz hu omer bori priya adama, chutz min ha'pas. The Mishnah goes on to describe peros ha'aretz, fruit that grows on the ground, where the bracha is ha'adama, with, again with an exception, the exception being bread, where it gets the bracha of ha'motzi. And the Mishnah goes on, v'ala yirakol somer bor priya adama as well. Rabbi Yehuda argues, v'ida omer bor mi nidashoyim, that you're more, even more specific about Yerakos. How exactly we distinguish, soon we'll see, between Yerakos and Priha'aretz, we'll get to in a few minutes. Before we even go further, just to simply get a feeling for the Mishnah. What is the Mishnah doing exactly? What is the purpose of this Mishnah coming here? I mean, at the end of the day, when we finish the Mishnah, we've learned the nusach of several of the brachos. It's not an exclusive list. Not every bracha is mentioned here. We have the bracha of ha'etz mentioned and the bracha of ha'adama. And we also have the bracha of ha'gafen and the bracha of ha'motzi. And then according to Yehuda, there's another bracha as well on Yerakos of bo mina d'shoyim. Right, the Mishnah doesn't mention shahakol. That happens to be a Mishnah later in Daf Mem. Davash en gidul min ha'aretz, am shahakol. Mizonos is also not mentioned in the Mishnah. But what is the Mishnah is not obviously therefore just coming to tell me these are the brachos that exist. Because obviously they're brachos that are not here. But the Mishnah is rather, and the Mishnah doesn't even phrase the question as that. The Mishnah phrases the question as ketzim brachin ala peiros. So everything that follows in Mishnah seems to be guided by the formulation of the question. So what was therefore the question of the Mishnah is asking, introducing Birchas Hanenin, the Mishnah focuses on the category of peiros. So what the Mishnah seems to be doing is really addressing variations of peiros, and variations within those variations. There's a klal, and there's a chutz. So if I were to therefore translate the Mishnah's question, ketzim brachin ala peiros, what would be the answer? What would be the definition, I should say, of peiros? What goes into, from Hilchus Brachus perspective, when we talk about peiros, what is included? Peiros ha-ilan and peiros ha-aretz, right? In other words, zechora, those two formulations are coming out of the initial question which was formulated at the beginning of the Mishnah. Ketzim brachin ala peiros. So the Mishnah, therefore, tells us within Peros, there's a category of Peros Ha'ilan, which gets its bracha of Bori Priya Eitz. But within that category of Peros Ha'ilan, there's an exception. No, I should say the subcategory of Peros Ha'ilan. There's Peros, but then within Peros is Peros Ha'ilan, with an exception of Yayin, which should have gotten, therefore, the Mishnah is implying, should have gotten what bracha? Ha'eitz. But, for whatever the reason, Rashi emphasizes Mitoch HaShivuso, Kabul Bracha Latzmo, it has a certain status. We'll see more on Amid Beis exactly the nature of this chashivus. But therefore, it gets its own bracha of Agafen. But again, it's mentioned as a part of a derivative of the klal of Peros Ha'ilan, which is itself a klal of a larger klal, meaning Peros. And so it is with Peros Ha'aretz, that the bracha is Ha'adama, but there's an exception, which is Pas. So I think the Pasha, that seems to be, to me, that what the Mishnah is coming to, you know, how the Mishnah is coming to tell us what it's coming to tell us. It's not simply describing brachos in general, but it's deliberately doing it in such a way that presents for us the category of peros, peros ha'art, peros ha'ilah, and the exceptions that come from each. So Lamashal, if I ask you Rabosai, when the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amid Beis says, V'aldavash en gidulo min ha'aretz, omer shahakol, is that Mishnah coming as a response to the question at the beginning of the parak? In light of what we said, no. The question was, but meanwhile, it's obvious that there's brachos for everything, not just for Paris. So in other words, what's the definition of Paris according to this? For Hilchos Brachos, what's the definition of Paris? Not what's chayiv in chveis in Trumas and Maisvis, midaraisa, not necessarily what's considered Peros for other halachos, bikurim is only shivas haminim, but it's obviously including peros ha'aretz and peros ha'ilan. So what is the criteria for the Mishnah's question of peros? Gidulo min ha'aretz. The contrast being, the Mishnah follows the further on, al davash en gidul min ha'aretz shahakol. We have to know, obviously, this is the what of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is obviously focusing on peros. There seems to be some hadgasha in the Mishnah, some emphasis on bracha peros. Now, we all know that there's a bracha for what's not gidulim in the arts, that's shahakol. But yet, the Mishnah teaches that to us, but not as part of its formulation here. There's somehow some emphasis within Birchas Hanenin of the category Birchas HaPeros, Ketzin Baruch HaNal HaPeros. Good. Now, next question would be, so why should the Mishnah do that? Why does the Mishnah make a broader category and then simply speak on that level? Ketzim Mevarachin Al Ha yet. And then you could have basically had everything addressing that question. Ultimately, the makoros for bracha, right, at the end of the sugya, bracha. So that's l'chora svara that's as relevant for shahako and giduam in the arts as it is for giduam in the arts. And what leads the Gemara to ultimately say that is the question of la bar netiya minolan. In other words, clearly as brachas for basa, beitzen, and dagim. So clearly the driving force here that's mechayiv and bracha is one which addresses not just tirchas aperos per se, giduam in the arts, but everything. And yet again, at the end of the day, the Mishnah does seem to highlight the birchas aperos. So there must be some reason for that. Not clear. We'll have to see. There's a mashmos on the base as well. Again, those of you who learned this at one time, again, an emphasis on peros. Peros alokin. If a person doesn't make a proper bracha, Rashi says on the top of the base, the top line, Knesset Yisrael, says Rashi, kishechatu ha peros alokin. Some emphasis that if a person is lax in brachos, it affects peros. Somehow birchas haperos. It's a Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim Lamed Dalet that also puts together birchas ha ilan peros ha ilan and peros ha haaretz binogei bracha. So something to be aware of. L'maisa though, at the end of the day, the klal of birchas hanen applies to everything. But the Mishnah obviously seems focused on peros. Perhaps by doing that, it kind of allows us the sense of contrast, if you will, right? Everything is peros. They're all the same in a way. They're all giduv and arts. They all share the same characteristics. Peros are ilan, peros are arts. And yet, there's a distinction. Peros are ilan get a different bracha than peros are arts. And furthermore, peros are ilan themselves have an exception. Yayin doesn't have the normal bracha of peros are ilan. It gets its own bracha of agafen, and so Tupas doesn't get the bracha of Peres Ha'aretz, it gets a bracha of Motzilechem Na'aretz. And within Yerakos, there's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that although the Rabbana would say you make a Hadam, Rabbi Yehuda says going to the Shite. So maybe the point of this Mishnah is to try to show you that as much as there's this category which seems a unifying category, in many ways they're all on the same page, it's all Peros. And yet, that same category, right, splits itself into all different ways. Benogea Peres Ha'aretz versus Peres Ha'ilan. Benogea the exceptions of Pas and Yayin. To speak in such a broad category, sweeping category of Ochlin, you wouldn't quite see the contrast as being as striking, because once you're speaking about such generalities already, so then you're not really emphasizing the contrast as much as simply that there are different brachos. The Mishnah might be coming not just to simply list brachos, which is certainly what we end up getting, at least many of the brachas in the list, but the Mishnah might also wish to try to show you that despite the fact that there's this common characteristic of the fact that we're talking about peros, yet there's the differences as well. Maybe that's one way to perhaps think about why the Mishnah is doing this. But again, maybe we'll be able to come up with other svaras as well, as we see in the Gemara as well, what could be why the Mishnah is emphasizing peros. Now, the Rishonim ask, the Ra'an, the Ritva ask, as far as the Seder of the Mishnah. The Mishnah puts first the bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz, and then goes to Borei Pri Adama. So they ask, why that? Why not start with Borei Pri Adama, and then go to Borei Pri Ha'etz? So first of all, I want to just touch the question just a little bit better. So what did they mean to say? In other words, so the Mishnah should do what? The Mishnah should say, Ketzer Baruch Nala Peros, Al Peros Ha'aretz, so Omer Pri Adama. Continue. Chutz Min HaPas. No, the point is they're not changing the basic structure of the Mishnah in terms of the fact that there's always a chutz. But the point is just put that clause before the clause of Borei Pri Ha'etz, and then go to the Borei Pri Ha'etz, and then talk about the Peros Ha'ilan, and then Chutz Min HaYayin. In other words, what they really want is that we should put the Adama first, and then you would put, of course, the Chutz Min HaPas before the Chutz Min HaYayin. Right? And then they ask that kasha, and they give two tirutzim. What didn't they answer? They didn't answer that the Mishnah maybe did it this way because Mishnah wanted to put the Chutz Min HaYayin before the Chutz Min HaPas. That didn't enter their mind. Yeah, you could put the pas first. Even though maybe if you look at yayin and pas, the Gemara emphasizes on the base that yayin has maybe something over pas, in that it's soyed umesameach, and pas is only soyed. Again, on the base, we'll see more about this. But apparently that would not be enough of an answer to the question. So therefore, good, so you put the chutz min hapas before the chutz min hayayin, but put hadama before ha'etz. So what does the Ritva answer? The Ra'a and the Ritva both give these two answers. We have the Ritva here. I gave you the Ritva as well. The handouts. Does anyone need? I have one more here. Someone needs. Oh, you have more now. Okay.
What's the motivation that I asked it? Why do they want to return to Arts first? What's the difference? Why
does it happen?
Why is that?
Okay. So you know, why is it? You're asking Stam. Why is it? Why is it a question? You know, you ask that way. You ask the other way.
Right. You can be more general for more specific. That an haaretz covers anything from haetz. So first start with Amri Adama, and then haetz is specific from the haaretz, but not the other way around. So start with general, then go to specifics.
Why?
Because the Barei Pri Adama covers the Barei Pri haetz.
So because the Mishnah says later, the next Mishnah, you could be yotzei even on a fruit with the Barei Pri Adama. So maybe that's why I should give you the Kol Yistik HaBracha first. Yes. But on the other hand, you could argue, look, but Shahako comes later, and Shahako is the most kolius, right, of all. Shahako yotze, if you say Shahako anything. So doesn't that give us a reason to say her eights?
Like
and then work kind of more, you know, toward the more kolius and then the more koliustic?
I mean, that's not
the best of fruits. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Very good. A lot of what we said before. Good. So, I mean, this is a separate misgeret. This Mishnah is not shaykh to that last Mishnah. Within the misgeret of this Mishnah, self-contained, right? You have this question, why does it say fruit before it mentions peres ha'aretz? Okay, so you're asking, so why should it be that way more than the other way? They don't explain. They don't really tell you. Hayde naka bar peretz mekan bar piyadama. But maybe you're saying because that alone, because the fact bar piyadama can be yotzi more, so then that should be reason to say that first.
So you would think that for fruits, fruit peres ha'ilon, you would make bar piyadama. So you say chutz min peres ha'ilon that you make bar piyadama.
And then you may have another chutz. They don't mean
I'm
that.
Sorry,
they don't
it comes
mean,
from the ground.
You mean, yeah, that's true. You're saying so that you mean the advantage of doing it that way would be that you can have an extra chutz in the Mishnah, perhaps. That's part of what's bothering them. That's what they're asking. That by saying Bar Pri Adama first, you say chutz min peres ha'ilan that you make. So then you're talking about peres in general, and then you can go further and have a chutz of chutz peres ha'ilan and another chutz. I don't know if it's reading too much into them. What they're saying, I don't know. It's very a little bit perech ba'avir. I don't know. Hayde naka bar pri haetz mekan bar pri adama. Says the Ritva, taima mishum shehi bracha miuchedes bifnei atzma. Ve'ein b'mashma'usa ela pri haetz b'lvad. Ukshim miuchedes chashuv ha'yoser. So the reason why the Mishnah puts haetz before hadama is because the bracha of haetz is more exclusive. It's a bracha miuchedes. In that it only implies pri ha'etz fruit, but not what grows from the ground. And therefore, it's more chashuv. What's more chashuv? What does he mean is more chashuv? Pashtus, what does he mean? The chashivus is in what? What do you think? In the what? So what is more chashuv? Chashuv, the bracha. The bracha is more chashuv. A bracha that's more miyuchad is more chashuv. You know, in other words, ha'etz, because it's more exclusive. It's not just hadama, it's from the eitz. It comes from the eitz, not just from the ground. It comes from the ground too, but it comes more than just from the ground. It comes from the ground, it's more specific. Just like mashal bar pri agafen, vis-a-vis bar pri eitz, right? So bar pri agafen is more specific than bar pri eitz, and it's speaking about it comes from the vine.
Then you should start with Bar Pri Agafen, and then
yeah, but
on
Sharpero. Yeah, but you see, but good. But then you're totally altering the whole structure of the Mishnah. Then we're altering the whole structure of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah structure is that we have the Peros, Ha'ilan, and its exception, and the Peros Ha'aretz and its exception. But within the two categories, before you get to the exceptions, within the two subcategories of Peros, The question why put ha'etz first says the Ritva because the bracha is more miyuchad and therefore it's more chashuv. Yeah.
I understand how that answers the question. But the question is why doesn't the Gemara start with something more
Mishnah?
Sorry, why doesn't the Mishnah start with something more inclusive? And the answer is because it starts with something more exclusive. I'm not sure how that answers.
Right. You're quite right. I mean, it's exactly right, although he doesn't phrase the question as you did, or as some of you wanted to, because it's more inclusive. I don't know how much you can read into the Ritva. Why would you do it that way? I don't know. The Mishnah maybe doesn't have to give you a reason. Just wants to know why. It's not that he's coming to reject a svara that he had, thinking that inclusive is better to say first. And then he says, no, actually, you don't see that in the Ritva. The Ritva simply posed the question and gave the answer. It wasn't like the question needed, to be explained because it was more. Stop. The Mishnah could have picked one way or the other. Why to go this way? There's a reason for everything. What is the Ritva saying? The Ritva is saying that the more specific the Nusach HaBracha, the more of a Chashav HaBracha it is. Okay. That's the clear Yisod in the Ritva. So we have to develop that idea better. You're quite right, but this is a clear Yisod here that you see. The more specific, bring me a riot to this idea. I gave you the answer a minute before. But tell me, bring me a riot that when you have more specific nusach, it shows more chashivas in a sense.
Yeah.
By attributing it to the Geffen, we'll see more in a minute about what that means. What are you attributing exactly to the Geffen? But by attributing the Geffen not to the Eitz, right, that reflects the fact that there's chashivas here. But it's interesting. Hang on one second. This is why I want to come back here in a minute to the Ritva. I asked you a minute ago, what is it that's more chashuv? What do you tell me? What's more chashuv? Because the bracha is more specific, so what's more chashuv? The bracha is more chashuv. When it comes to agafen, what's the pshat? The bracha is more chashuv, or you could say a little differently. Yeah. The abdi yayin is more chashuv, right? And that's why, right? That's why it has a different bracha. So you can speak it in terms of the bracha being more chashuv in that it's exclusive in its nusach, or you could speak about the object of the bracha being more chashuv. Right? A priya eitz, it's more chashuv, the priya adam. It doesn't just come from the adam, it comes from the tree.
Also say maybe
now, the lashon of the ritva perhaps is a little more mashma, which way? The lashon of the ritva itself, what would you say? What's more chashuv? The bracha is more chashuv. But there are mashmos in other sources that it's the priya eitz is more chashuv than the priya adam. Yeah.
If we're going within the priya itself, not the bracha, then it's not necessarily an exclusivity to it. It's just the best. One category is more best than the other.
It's okay, but it's because the chetza of that fruit is more chashuv than the other quote unquote fruit. That's what Mishnah put the fruit that's more chashuv before the fruit that's less chashuv.
But it's not within the chetza; it's within the category. I'm saying like it's not. It seems to be that the Adam is just a bigger category than Eitz is. It's not necessarily that one's more chashuv than the other. This goes within the bracha. You're actually dealing with something that's more chashuv.
I don't follow you so well. So you're saying what? You're challenging the svar that was saying
with,
that...
When you're looking at Agafen, we're zoning in on something that's Agafen. But when you're going within Eitz, that's not necessarily... You're not zoning in on...
Pre-Agafen or pre-Eitz? What's the difference? The pre-Agafen, we'll see what it means. So it means the wine, right? So the wine is a pre-Agafen. And the fruit, the apple, is a priya eitz. An apple is more chashuv than a melon. It grows from the tree. Okay? So that could be also fit for the mitzvah, I mean, at least in terms of answering the question. The Mishnah put the fruit, which is more chashuv, before the fruit that's less chashuv. Again, the language of the mitzvah doesn't sound quite that way. The language sounds like the Mishnah puts the bracha that's chashuv. Again, one could have conceptualized it a little differently. Yeah?
What's the difference from there? Is the bracha that's chashuv or the fruit that's chashuv? Isn't the bracha just reflective of the fruit that it's being made of?
Right. But it's true. But again, how do you get there? Is it because the bracha is different and different than the other because of the chashivas of the chetza? Or, not so much the chashivas of the chetza, but just the fact that within brachos, what we have an obligation to try to be more specific when we could be. So given the fact that there's obviously a ha'eitz, something that grows in the trees, not just that it grows in the ground, it pre-grows from the ground, but it also grows from the tree, so therefore the bracha reflects a more specific recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being borei pri ha'eitz, and that's why the bracha is more chashuv. See, l'mashal, let's go with this for a minute. This is all within the first teretz of the Ritva. The principle if we read the Ritva the way that we sounds like, that the issue is not the chshivas of the pri, the chshivas of the bracha. So what principle underlies the shita that the shita of the Mishnah that you make her eitz rather than adama on fruit? What principle seems to be underlying that?
Shumai, I guess, like, it could be the difference between thanking Hashem for, you know, generally, like, in the Amida, when we thank Him for things, nice things, and things we don't know about, as opposed to something that specifically happens
okay.
to you that you
so
know
So the
about.
More specific that you can target your Hodah, your acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more specific you can be, the better. Right? That's the klal. Do you see that klal reflected in the Mishnah as well, separate from this statement right now of Pri HaEitz versus Pri HaAdamah? Where do we see an echo of that same principle? Pas and Yayin. Leave that aside for a minute.
The side.
Rabbi Yehuda, right? So let's talk for a minute about Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll try to come back here in a second. What does the Mishnah say further? Talks about Peres HaAretz being HaAdamah, then it talks about Yirakos. The Yirakos being HaAdamah for the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bormini Deshoi. So first of all, just simply teaching the mission, what is the difference between Peres HaAretz and Yirakos? Yirakos, we would colloquially say vegetables, all right? And Peres HaAretz, yeah?
They're inside the ground.
So you're basically, where do you get it back? Where do you see that? Where do you see that? The Me'iri says that, right? The Me'iri. The Me'iri says it like that. He says, Peros ha'aretz kigo kishuim avatichim diluim tutim mini kipios utzvur. So Peros ha'aretz would be cucumbers, squash, melons, gourds. That's Peros ha'aretz. And then he gets the Irakos, says, Kruv silka karti vetumi. Kruv is cabbage, silka is beets, right? Silka we have in Rosh Hashanah. We have Rosh Hashanah. Silka, karti also we have. Karti is leek. Bitumi. No one knows it's shum. Yeah, shum is shin tough. Right. What is shumim? Garlic. Shaperos atzma nivloin ba'aretz. So the irakos, he explains, are those things that are not. They don't grow above the ground. I guess if it's above the ground, you can identify more as a fruit. Just the difference being, of course, as Gemara says in Daf Mem, what distinguishes between Pri HaEitz and Pri HaAdamah, if the Geza, if it's a perennial, like that's a tree, then you don't have to replant each year. That's a Pri HaElan. That's Pri HaElan. If it's, you have to always be Noteh again, was a Reh again, that's Pri HaAretz. But again, except for that distinction, basically it's a fruit. It's not growing on a tree, and you have to replant it, but it's basically like a fruit just growing on the ground. What makes something a vegetable, though, is what he says, is the fact that it's nivra ba'aretz. That's what the Me'iri says. So what would it sound like from the Me'iri? In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what bracha would you make on a cucumber?
Adama.
Is it? Adama. He said he called it kishuim. He said Adama. He said if he translates kishuim as cucumber, kishuim he puts in Peres HaAretz. Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda does not dismiss the bracha of Adam, but he has the imperative to further distinguish within the Peres HaAretz something which is a little bit more defined. It's not just in the Aretz. It's a Yerek. It's Nivra ba'aretz. So that Yehuda wants you to identify. So he calls that Bor Mine Deshoyim. Why is it called Deshoyim? I guess they're connected. They're like herbs. I don't know exactly. These things are more. Desh is grass, right? Greens. I understand. Let's say cabbage. Cabbage is leafy. I don't know. Leek. Okay, leek also, right? It's like a green. It's like so. It's like desh. So it's an edible type of a grass. Mine Deshoyim. Not every grass is edible, but obviously for humans. But there are. Lettuce would certainly go in that category. Garlic. I don't know why is that considered deshoyim, meaning deshoyim. I guess because it's nivra ba'aretz. What?
It's underground. Probably.
It's underground as well, so it has similar to grass. I know.
Yeah, it is. It's a root. Garlic is a root.
It's a root. It's a root. Okay, anything that's a root. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe anything that lays on the ground, physically touches the ground, not just
nivroim.
would also be a yerek. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, otherwise, how cucumbers fit into that category of being stolen on the ground?
No, to the contrary. He calls kishu and he puts in the category of peres ha'aretz. That's like melons. He calls that peres ha'aretz. Yeah, the pashas of Yehuda would agree to peres ha'aretz. Yeah, there are those who, this is a little more complicated than making it, because the Gemara later on Amud Ches, we'll have to talk about this more then. Rabbi Yehuda also says that you make a bracha bor mine zirayim, if you kosher as achita, if you chew a stalk of wheat. So then it comes up, Yehuda has another bracha, mine zirayim, and mine zirayim and mine deshayim. So what's left for bor priya hadamad? So it's not as simple as I'm making it. That's, you know, there's discussion about this. In the Meleches Shlomo and the Mishnayos, seems to assume that Yehuda would not have a Hadamah. He would just have either Zerayim or Deshayim, it's one or the other. If it's a Desha type of substance, a green vegetable, or a leafy vegetable, if you will, or an underground vegetable, as Meir would put it, then it's Zerayim, then it's Bormi Deshayim, and if it's another form of fruit that goes on the ground, it would be Zerayim, and then there's no place for Hadamah. But again, one could certainly argue and say, no, there could be three different examples within Rabbi Yehuda. There could be a pre-Hadamah that he would agree to, and then there's also Mine Deshayim, and there's also Mine Zerayim. Yeah?
You said before in the first instance of the reason why you said eats for Hadamah.
Yes. So that's exactly where we're going. Oh, you're jumping the gun. Okay, hang on. If I don't get to it, you'll remind me. So now, we're both said. Let's understand. What is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? So, what does Rashi tell us? Tishayesh b'chal pri ha'adama d'shoyim u'zvoyim. Within the category of pri ha'adama, there's d'shoyim and zvoyim, kigon kitnios. So d'shoyim are, again, leafy, grassy type of substances, of foods, of fruit. Zvoyim, such as kitnios. Now, kitnios here doesn't necessarily have to just mean beans. It can mean really all the different grains that grow from the ground, all kinds of things like that, kitnios. Rabbi Yehuda boi heker bracha l'chol min u'min. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you need the bracha to recognize in a more precise way each min for itself. That's the base of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. More specific in terms of that, and pardon the pun, Rabbi Yehuda, later on, the Gemara learns it out of the pasuk, Baruch Hashem yom yom, that, what does it mean, Baruch Hashem, yom yom, that kol yom ten lo me'ein brachosav, that you should give HaKadosh Baruch Hu bracha each day for that which that day reflects, the shevach for that day. So just like on daf mem, right before the Siddur, right before the next Mishnah. So, therefore, hachinami kol min u'min ten lo me'ein brachosav, just like the pasuk Baruch Hashem, yom yom, says that every day warrants its own bracha for what that day has to offer. Rashi explains Shabbos, Yontif. You speak about the union of Shabbos. On Yontif, you speak about the union of Yontif. So too within each min of Birchas Hananim. Okay, so now what do the Rabbanan hold? The Rabbanan don't darsh in the pasuk of Chol Yom Tenim Bechosav, or at least they don't extend it to what? Bechol Min U'Min? That means there's a machokes about this principle, right? But there's machokes about this principle. Then what's the explanation for the Rabbanan's Shita of Bori Priya Eitz over Bori Priya Adam? L'chora, what did we say? That the Ritva says, why does Bori Priya Eitz come before Bori Priya Adam? Because the bracha is more chashuv. Why is the bracha more chashuv? Because it's more specific. The more specific the bracha, right, the more chashuv the bracha. And so what do you see? That the Tanakam also agrees that when you can be more specific, you should be more specific. Not just leave it as a Bori Priya Adama, but you should actually try to highlight the fact that it's coming from the eggs, not just from the Adama. So isn't that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? So then why is there a disagreement as far as Yivakos? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say, bring me the Shem, the Chum, and say, no, there's no reason to go that far and to be Mefaret, Mine the Shoyin. You could just say Bori Priya Adama, it's good enough. So how come when it comes to Bori Priya Eitz, they felt the need to give you a new bracha? So l'chora, one could say, again, one or two things, one or two possibilities. How are you going to get out of this question? Either the Chachamim dismissed the principle of Rabbi Yehuda And the Rabbi, and that which they say Bar Priya Eitz is not based on that notion of Rabbi Yehuda. They don't agree with that notion. But that which they make a Bar Priya Eitz of Priya Adama is a function not of necessarily of the need to be more exclusive, but rather a function of what? Of the object. In other words, the Priya Eitz is more chashuv than Priya Adama. Good. But don't tell me that the greeny, leafy vegetable is more chashuv than the melon. So there, the elamai, to be mefaret, for the sake of being mefaret, for the sake of being more specific, maybe the Chacham don't acknowledge that yisod. But nevertheless, if the object is more chashuv in its own right, then you make her eitz over Adam. Because it grows in a tree, it's more chashuv. Then you could argue, then that could, the Mishnah could work very well. But again, the pashtus of the lashon of the Ritva is not that. The Ritva doesn't sound like he's saying that the cheftz of the pre-eitz is more chashuv. Rather, it's that the bracha is more chashuv because it's miyuchad. So why do you make a bracha that's more miyuchedes? Because there's a halacha of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Chacham also agree. So then how come they don't also agree with Rabbi Yehuda as far as Yerakos? So then you're going to have to say that the question really is how you apply the principle. The principle, everyone agrees. The question is the application of the principle. The Chacham say it applies in terms of Priya Eitz to be more specific about the Priya Eitz versus Priya Adama. That's a category and a subcategory that has to be acknowledged further based on the Yisod of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But that doesn't mean that every subcategory, because it exists, has to be acknowledged. Maybe the Chacham feel that the uniqueness of something which is a Yerek versus a pre Haaretz doesn't require its own period, its own specific brach. The difference of something being a Priya Eitz versus Priya Adama, that's something that ought to be acknowledged as based on the principle Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But the question is, what, you know, where do you draw the line? Rabbi Yehuda draws the line a lot further than the Rabbanan do.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, though, why not? You can go even more specific. You can, you know, make a bracha on each and every item individually. Why wouldn't you say that?
Elamai, obviously you don't. Obviously
it's
you don't.
Too complicated.
Right. Too complicated, or as long as obviously you have basically the category, so then basically the common characteristics are already, you know, enough that you can, that you're highlighting what you need to highlight. There's nothing, you know, the fact that this is a leek and this is spinach, and it, no, but basically they share the same basic characteristics. Yeah,
a chanami. Yeah. What would be the hierarchy if according to Yehuda in terms of brachos? If he had it his way, could I be, you would say, shanim on a priya adama or a priya eitz?
Okay, we'll have to see. We'll have to see for Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see it in a minute in terms of the Rabbana, too. We'll get to just a few minutes. Good. That is a chora that what you have to obviously speak out in terms of this question of Yehuda and his shita, and how, whether that, to what extent that principle is really at the heart of the din of the Mishnah within Bari Priya Eitz. And again, the reading of the Ritva sounds like it is, in fact, that principle, but one could have perhaps seen it a little differently. Yeah?
You said that the Ritva doesn't hold the Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Bar Priya Adama anymore. What would you do with the Mirachis
Priya Adama? Just because it says in the Pasuk doesn't mean I have to have a bracha with that Nusach. You're going backwards. In other words, if you have such a Nusach, so where did it come from? We'll see in a minute. The Rishonim talk about why do you, this particular Nusach is based on this week's parasha. Good, it's in the Pasuk. But it doesn't mean that you have to, just because it's in the Pasuk, I have to use such a Nusach in a bracha. Again, I don't have it clear myself exactly the sheet is here, whether Rabbi Yehuda does acknowledge Bar Priya Adama or doesn't. I found in Melachah Shlomo that seems to suggest that he doesn't know Bar Priya Adama, but Pashtus, it seems to me, when I first read the Mishnah, I think you also had that sense, and the Meiri, I think, also be mashma that way. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Bar Priya Adama, but he has categories that would also warrant a new bracha. So Rabbi Yehuda, there are five brachas that the Mishnah has basically mentioned. Not that he doesn't know of Bar Priya Adama. Wait, just to finish the Ritva. The Ritva gives a second teretz, and it's more obvious teretz. Why does the Mishnah first put the Priya Eitz and the Priya Adama? Because after all, there's a machlokes benogei Priya Adama between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, again, does this mean it's machlokes whether the bracha Priya Adama exists or not? According to Melachas Shlomo, that is in fact true. Rabbi Yehuda dismisses Priya Adama. Again, does that have to be so in order to answer the kasha? No, I mean, the fact that within Priya Adama there's going to be a category of Yerakos that's going to be subject to Machlokes, and Mishnah leaves that for last. Okay, the Mishnah just structurally makes more sense to talk first about Priya 8, and then there's no machlokes about that, and then talk about the Priya Adama with its exception, and then talk about the case of Priya Adama that there's machlokes about. Maybe that's the second terz of the Ritva. That's why it gives the order that it does. Again, within the first terz of the Ritva, we have a chora, two ways to understand maybe what would be the basic reason for putting first the Priya 8 and then the Priya Adama. Aaron, yeah.
Dasha,
yeah, Dasha, Isa, Matzah, Zera.
It's pre. It doesn't have a third category.
If
you're
going to
go off,
Kipisukim,
it's two categories.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So if you assume like the Brecha Shlomo, that there's only those two, then it parallels the Pasuk over there. Okay, interesting. Let's talk now about the Chutz. We have two cases of Chutz in the Mishnah, right? Chutz min Hayayin and Chutz min Hapas. So the Mishnah, again, is giving us these two brachos by using them as a contrast, right, to what would otherwise have been the category known as Priya 8, Peros Ha'ilan, I should say, which get by Priya 8, and Peros Ha'aretz that we get by Priya Adama. So the first is the bracha of Hagafen, Yayin, Chutz min Hayayin. So a couple of things right away we should try to understand here. So first of all, The fact that Yayin gets its own bracha means that somehow we're trying to be more specific, as we see already in terms of Ha'etz and vis-a-vis Ha'adama. We're being more specific, not just saying there's a Priya Ha'etz here. In theory, there should have been a Priya Ha'etz. We have to explain that as well. In theory, there should have been a Priya Ha'etz on Yayin. But because of the Chashivus, there's a Priya Gatha. So there's more specificity, right? In the bracha per Priya Gafen over the bari Priya Eitz. And so it is with pas, right? It's more specific, right? Pas is processed, and it becomes pas. So we don't just leave it with the bari Priya Adama, but we have the unique bracha of Motzi Lechem Na'aretz. The nusach itself, why here it's borei Priya Gafen, and here it's Motzi Lechem Na'aretz, and the Iri, the Ritva, both point out, parallel to Pesukim. The pasuk says in Berachi Nafshi, we said, right, in Berachi Nafshi, Lahotzi Lechem min Ha'aretz, that's Motzi Lechem min Ha'aretz, and we have Borei Priha Eitz, no, that's Borei Priha Gafen, no, Borei Priha Adama, Priha Adama, that's in the parasha this week. Priha Eitz, I guess you can always go back to Gracious, and Priha Gafen, no, there's no pasuk, right, I don't think it's a pasuk, Priha Gafen, but okay. But notice something interesting. In the bracha of Pas, of Motzi Lechem Na'aretz, what have I said unequivocally? What have I acknowledged in the bracha? The chetz of the Pas, the Lechem. Motzi Lechem Na'aretz. In the bracha of Hagafen, so now, yesh l'estapik. I'm putting out two pasuk. What is the pshat of the word Borei Pri Hagafen? What do you mean? You say Bor Priya
Gafen. Could be the
actual grace. So Chora, you could argue that it really is a bracha, it's a Shevach, where Knali Kosh Baruch Hu created the Priya Gafen. What is the Priya Gafen? The grape. The grape is the fruit of the vine. When we drink, when we eat grapes, we make a Bor Priya Eitz, like other food. When we drink wine, we acknowledge the relationship of the grape to the vine, and we thank Hashem for creating the grapes. That's one way to understand the taitch of the bracha Bor Priya Gafen. If that's the case, it's not exactly parallel to the specificity of Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. In that, there the bracha that was changed to specifically highlights the chetz of pas of lechem. Whereas here, the bracha of wine is highlighting the uniqueness of grapes being the Priya Gafen. Alternatively, what would you say is the meaning of Bar Priya Gafen? What is the Priya Gafen? The grapes. Not the grapes. Priya Gafen is the wine. The wine is the Priya Gafen. In which case, in a way, it's much closer to the Motzilechem in Haaretz. This being specific, you're praising Hashem for creating wine. Wine is the Priyagaf. So L'chora, this is, I think, a Machokis Rishonim. We'll see. I think it's a Machokis Rishonim. There's a Rashi on the base that's basically clear, and that Rashi, that the meaning of Bar Priyagafen is thanking Hashem for creating grapes. But then, L'chora, there's a lot of other Rishonim that I think are mashma, we'll see soon, just a few minutes, that the Priyagafen means the grape, the wine itself. Maybe we can be creative here, maybe come up with a possible nafgamina. What could be a possible nafgamina between, if you want to tie Shbar Priyagafen as thanking Hashem for creating the grape as the Priyagafen, or thank Hashem for creating wine as the Priyagafen? Go ahead.
If you eat grapes and say a Bar Priyagafen.
What if you made a Bar Priyagafen of grapes? So this is a Maisa brought down in Halacha, this question. It's brought in Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And the Tur brings it from the brother Rabbi Chiel, and then brings the Rush, and then the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and your Yotze. The Ritva also says this in Hilchos Brachos. In his Hilchos, in the back of the classic Ritva, you have the Ritva in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes Vav. It says, Nirin Hadvarim, Shemberach Alanov, Bor Piagaf, and Yatsa. I think it's in Siman Reish Ches. I have to double check in Shulchan Aruch where it's brought. Now, so what you argue? If the meaning of Bar Priyagafen is on the grape, then Chora, good. Normally, you make it on the wine to praise Hashem for the grape. But L'maisa, the Nusach itself is certainly apropos for the grapes, because that's what you mean, Priyagafen. So then, if you say it on the grape, certainly you should be Yotze. That makes sense. That's what the halacha is that way. However, if you hold that the Priyagafen is not the grape, if the Priyagafen means the wine, then L'chora you should say, maybe you're not Yotze if you say it on the grape. Now, none of this is Mukhrach. You don't have to assume this way, because one could certainly hear differently both directions. You could certainly argue that L'masso, the Priyagafen is the grape. But the Takana was to make Priyagafen on wine. So maybe you're not Yotze. Maybe. Or you can argue the other way around, that the meaning of Bar Priyagafen is that what's the Priyagafen, the wine. But does that mean that the grape is not a Priyagafen? I mean, the kavan of your bracha of Nusach is Priyagafen is the wine, but certainly the grape is also Priyagafen. Good. So you could certainly hear that you're Yotze. The din of the Shulchan Aruch is brought as if you're Yotze. L'maisa, the Tur brings from his brother Bichil even more than that. If I have in front of me grape and wine, he says, L'chadchila, says Rabbi Yechiel, you can make the bracha of Bore Pri Agafen and pater the grapes as well with the same bracha. That the Rush didn't like, but the Rush was more than the Yevdi Yotze. It's interesting. That was the Rini Chisi. He pressed the issue a little bit more, even on a certain vein of Chathchila as well, at least if you have two things in front of you. That's in terms of the question of how to. Now, what are another implication of this question? This could be an afkamina, maybe yes, maybe not. But to the extent that I'm saying Bori Priyagafen means the grape, then no, I'm not mishubid, I'm not forcing myself into a corner to define the wine as what? As Priyagafen. If it's referring to the grape, then the wine doesn't be called Priyagafen. The grape is a Priyagafen, but I praise Hashem for creating grapes when I drink wine, because of the chashivas. On the other hand, if the Taich words of Bori Priyagafen is that I'm thanking Hashem for creating the wine, which is Priyagafen, then what am I saying in a sense, in effect? That the wine is Pri. That the wine is Pri.
And then if you have an Aet, if you say Aet and you drink wine, then are you the Yotze?
So that's another question. Good. So that's another question that the Ritva and the Ra'a both deal with over here. We just talked about a possible nafgamina in terms of how you define Priyagafen, if you might say Hagafen on grapes. Stop now, another question. Let's say I would make a bracha Bori Priya Eitz on wine, and mayotze or not. So this is a question, again, that's dafka, not, I don't think it's born in Shulchan Aruch, the Mogen Avraham brings it down. The Tosus on Daf Yud Beis seems to say what? Tosus on Daf Yud Beis seems to say
that you're not yotzei
if you make ha'etz on wine.
Yeah.
That's the Tosus on, because once you say that yayin needs its own bracha hagafen, so then you can't be yotzei with ha'etz anymore. Anyway, Kivega screams all over Tosis. Why is that so? Kivega asks, Hayayin Shem Priyolov. Dabbarchin Bar Priyagafen. Limkin Shabbarchin Bar Priyates. After all, why shouldn't you be Yotze with Bar Priyates on wine? After all, the wine is a pre. Because after all, you say Bar Priyagafen on wine. How's the Kivega assuming the definition of Priyagafen? What's the taich of Bar Priyagafen? What's the priyagafen? The wine being priyagafen. So if the wine is a priyagafen, the wine is a priyaitz, why can't you say bar priyaitz on wine?
Then kol shekhen adama, obviously.
Okay, why do you say obviously?
Not obviously, because they would also do it on...
Could be. The Ritva doesn't say that. Doesn't say not that way. The Ra'ah later says that way. Yeah. Ela dohayo olavar yosef sheumi gefen. Why does Tosas seem to assume that you can't be Yotzei with a ha'etz on wine? After all, the same way Bar Priyagafen works for wine, because after all, wine is a Priyagafen, so the wine is a Priyagafen. You weren't as specific as you could be, but you don't. But the evidence should be good. As long as the language fits for that which you ate, it should be good enough. Vahara, you could say Shahako on anything. So you could say, as long as the wine can be classified as priyagafen, then it can certainly be classified also in a looser sense as priyagafen. But you see, of course, if I would take the side, which may or may not be a real chita, but let's assume this way for a second, that the reason why the nusach of bar priyagafen is to refer to the grapes is because on some level, you couldn't have it otherwise. You couldn't call the yayin priyagafen, because it's not. It's the grape that's the priyagafen. So when I make a gafen on wine, what I'm doing is I'm praising Hashem for creating grapes, which give wine. So then if I make a priyaetz on wine, pashit that what? Am I yotze? Or how could I be yotze? Yayin is not a priyaetz. Yayin is not priyagafen either. But the grape is a priyagafen. So if I specifically talk about the grape, I'm the yotzei me bracha on wine. If I talk about a peros in general, can be yotzei me bracha on wine. So it's clear if I would assume that, if I assume purpia gafen is pshat bracha on grapes, which are the priya gafen, and I don't necessarily therefore have to assume that the yain is quote a pri. So then I could hear that you're not yotzei bar priyates. Rabbi Kivega says, takes his level pasha, that priya gafen means the yain is a priya gafen. So just because I was a little more loose about the Nusach HaBracha, speak about Priyaetz, but so what? The Yain is a Priyaetz, just like it's a Priyagefen. Priyagefen as well, but it's also Priyaetz. Now, could you have still defended Tosus even on Rabbi Kivega's grounds? Maybe. Let's say I assume Rabbi Kivega is 100% right, that the Priyagefen is the wine. But does that have to mean that it could be also the Priyaetz? Yes, Shahaka works for everything. But maybe this is something that's more than here for the sugya of Aveis. Once there was a takana to say a bar priyagafen for the chashivas of yayin, to acknowledge the yayin as a priyagafen, maybe you can't fall back on the eitz anymore. Yayin somehow, by taking this bracha of priyagafen and creating a new bracha, they will mafkia in a certain sense the other bracha. Maybe that's why. Maybe you could disagree with him, even with giving his premise. You could disagree with him and say that they're still not yotz. But Maisa, the Kivega didn't have the Ritva, the Chedisha Ritva, but the Ritva says Mefurish here by us, and also later in Daphnem, and also in Hilchas Brachas, just before the other one, in Perek Beis Lacha Yudalit. Kosher Yeshlo Bracha Pratis, Uberach Bracha Kogis Yatsa, and therefore Ketzad, Berach Alayayin, Bor Kreates, or Alayilan, Bor Kreadama Yatsa, it's all the same. Kivega is Machavim to the Shita of the Ritva. But again, the Rebbe Kivega, in formulating his argument, notice how he did it, Rabbi Osei. How did he do it? by saying, after all, the Yayin is a Priya Gofen, so it's also Priya Eitz. But again, if you go with the Rashi on the base that says that the Priya Gofen is a reference to the grape, maybe I'm not machoyev to assume that the Pri is called the Yayin. Maybe the Yayin is not called a Pri, so therefore maybe you can understand Tosis. Yeah.
The Mishnah itself implies pretty heavily that it says...
Beautiful. Go ahead, say it.
It says that you make a bari for eitz on all of your other eitz, except for the ayin.
Good. So all of this is nice and sweet in the abstract. Does priya gofen mean the yayin being priya gofen? Or does it mean the grape being priya gofen? If it's the yayin being priya gofen, it's clear the yayin is called a pri. If the priya gofen is a grape, then maybe it's not so clear that the yayin is called a pri. Says Ari, but wait a second. The Mishnah says that the yayin is called a pri. Separate for how you want to touch the words bari priya gofen. Maybe you can say priya gofen is that it's going on the grape. But don't tell me that the yayin is not called pri. Because what does the Mishnah say after all? Al peiros ha'ilan hu omer bore priya eitz chutz from what? Min ha'yayin. What are we contrasting here? Peiros ha'ilan and yayin. That means that Yayin would have normally been a Bori Priya Eitz, but for the fact that it has Cheshivas and a gift with the Misakinu Brach. So it's Mamish Muchach Minei Uvei in the Mishnah, that obviously Yayin is called a Pri, and the Bracha would have been a what? A Bori Pri her Eitz, except that there's a new Bracha that was instituted. So Mamish Muchach in the Mishnah. Oh, so this is a big tumult. Let's see what to do with this. In other words, if I didn't know anything from anything, and I were to look at this Mishnah, what would bother me? What should it have said? Not I'll call Peir say Elon who mevarcha eitz chutz min ha'yayin. What did I say? Al ha on mashkin, I make shahakol chutz min ha'yayin shel mevar piyagaf. What are we doing contrasting Peir say Elon with wine? Wine is not a pri. Elamai, you see, yayin is a pri. So let's see what that means. Is that really the conclusion to draw from the Mishnah? So let's go back to the Me'iri. Let's see, what do you see in the Me'iri? Take a look in the paragraph. Anyone have a Me'iri? Okay, the paragraph is Amar HaMe'iri. And the middle of the paragraph starts with Shoel Ba Ketzat, right? But halfway through, or more than halfway through the paragraph. Shoel Ba Ketzat. Okay, Rabosei, someone volunteer. Any volunteer? Okay, yeah, it's Chaka. The Amar.
I had it, I just lost it. The Shoel Ba Ketzat, the Amar.
Stop. Okay. What words should jump off the page at you? Which words should jump off the page at you? Ba'al ha'yotze mehem. In those three words, Me'iri is saying a mouthful. What's bothering the Me'iri? And what's he trying to say here? Mishnah, go ahead. There's some incongruity here between the peiros ha'ilan and yayin. In other words, what would that suggest? Yayin is what comes from the grape. So we're comparing what? We're comparing the thing that comes from the grape with fruit. If what comes from the other fruit is shahakol, then what you should be doing is comparing yayin to shahakol, to mei peros. On all mei peros, you make shahakol. Chutz min ha'yayin, you make gofen. The Mishnah doesn't do that. Mishnah is comparing peros to ilan, which we say, hey, it's to yayin. So in order to preserve the sense of symmetry in the Mishnah, the Miri has to therefore take a stand here and say that the point is that the Mishnah is saying that on peiros ha'ilan, in other words, as if it would say, peiros ha'ilan ve'al ha'yotze mehem, you make a bari priya eitz. Except for what? Except for yayin, which is what comes out of an oven, that you make bar piyagaf. No. If I say this, does this mean that I'm assuming that the yayin is called a pri?
No.
Not any more than I'm assuming that orange juice is called a pri either. Because basically the contrast in Mishnah boils down to a contrast between a made peros and wine. So good, if made peros get the same bracha as the pri, so yayin mitzat, based on the same principle, get the same bracha as the pri. But there's a new bracha to say on wine. But from the Mishnah itself, one couldn't prove it necessarily. Right? I mean, either that or you're going to prove that everything is called a pri. In a sense, at least for his brachas. But is that the way to put it? Orange juice gets hagafen, apple juice gets hagafen, hagafen. Orange juice gets ha'eitz, and apple juice gets ha'eitz, and yayin gets hagafen. But the Miri needed to say this again because he was bothered by Ari's question. What's alpera sa'igon chutz min ha'yayin? Now, this is not so pushed. Not pushed at all. This, I already had a chance. I gave you a Tosas on Shishayim, which nobody had, obviously, because I found the one which is nice here. But I had a chance to copy it, so maybe you take a look. This is not, by the way, a Rishon. It's just called Tosas on Shishayim. It's not a Tosas, like in a sense that we say Tosas on Gemara. But it's one of the Mepharshim, one of the Mishnayis that you have on the side of the and he brings some others mostly, so equal from other places. So the Dibur HaMaskel is Min HaYayin, right? Min HaYayin, Iko LeMeidak. You see it, everybody? Wait a minute, everyone has it? It's on the bottom of the page, right? After they get wide, about 5 lines down. Middle of the line. Min HaYayin, Iko LeMeidak, the HaYayin Bechal Maskehu, V'Hachi Havei LeMeimar, Al-Kol HaMaskin, Shahako Chutz MiYayin. Okay, what's the abbreviation?
Midelo kasher.
Midelo ka'amar hachi. Midelo ka'amar hachi. The fact that the mission didn't say like that. Mashma, the following conclusion. The peros shesachtan. If you have peros that you squeezed. Mashke hayotze mehen. Mevarech alein what? By preates. That if you have juice from fruit, you make the bracha bar paints on the juice. And that's why you can talk about chutz min hayayin. In other words, it's comparable to the case, the equivalent case by fruit. V'chein mashma k'tzatz v'gemara gabi mei shlokos. Achein betosu l'mashmakin. This is a sugya rechava. We'll have to deal with it at length. So I just want to get everyone's feet wet a little bit, get a little familiar with this inyan. There's basically one of the main inyanim that we're going to deal with in case of the barachin. Numerous issues, but one of them is basically what seems to be a steer between two gemaras. Okay, on Daf Lamed Ches, there's a statement of Ravashi that says that Duvja de Tamri Mevarach Hashakon Yevidvaro. If you have dates and you have the juice of the dates, so it's basically like Meperos, right? The juice, the dates, the juice that comes out of the date, you say Shahako because it's Zeya Bi'alma, says the Gemara. Zeya Bi'alma. It's not really considered the fruit. In other words, fruit juice sounds like not Gemara, shahak. That's the halacha that we follow as well. Problem is that one blot later, the Gemara gives us the following cloud that mei shlokos kishlokos, which would mean halacha maisa. What would it boil down to? Again, pardon the pun. Boil some vegetables and make a soup. What bracha do you make a vegetable soup? Adam. There's a lot of kolam, a lot of details here when that is, a lot of shittas. Let's assume the vegetables are in it, right? But you make the hadama not just on the vegetable, but on the actual juice as well that you cooked it with. In other words, this soup is now hadama. So what's the problem? How come when it comes to meperos, we say shahako, and we say to meshlokos, it's the bracha, and the Rishonim assume the same thing should be with fruit. If you make a fruit soup, for example, then the fruit soup should be ha'etz. So Tosus doesn't explain the chiluk, but notes the discrepancy. And Tosus on the test, the little Tosus, Ma'ida Silka Kisilka, says Tosus Afa Gavda Amin Le'il Me Peres Zeh Bi'alma Yesh Lechalek. Ooh, Yesh Lechalek. Leaves us hanging. So there are numerous shitas in the Shonen. So that's what the Tosus Chadashim is basically talking about here. That you could argue that the sugya Meishalakos. No, it's the raya that may peiros is the same thing as meshalakos. So you got to make a bracha of the fruit, and that's l'chol what the Meiri is saying. But then, of course, the Meiri has to deal with the same issue that all the Rishonim are dealing with. Again, without giving too much information now, because we have to deal with this in the sugya in its own time. But what Meiri l'chora has to hold, and he says it later. When you go to the Meiri later, you see that there's a shita's harayvit, and the harayvit shita is the following: that really, if you crush fruit and you extract its fruit through your own efforts manually, then the bracha of the fruit is the same, of the juice is the same bracha as the fruit, just like Meishlokos. The Gemara says Zeh Be'alma, that's when it was went out by itself. It oozed out by itself without you crushing it and pressing it.
Who
is it? Shitas Harayvid, that the Rashba quotes. This is, again, it's not accepted in the halacha, this distinction. And the Rashba has a different chiluk, and the Rush has a different chiluk, and there are numerous shitas and shitas upon shitas in this whole inyan. But where is the Meiri coming from in that one line that we read, again, without any elaboration, but the Meiri just simply reads into the Mishnah? The Meiri is coming from the shita that he himself holds when it comes to made peiros, that there's a chiluk between what is when you crush it and when it oozes by itself. And that's the chora what the Meiri would be saying. I'll kopan him, that's what the Tosus Hashem is asking here. That the Gemara, not the Pashtus, the Gemara, the Tosus says simply otherwise. Says the Tosus Hashem, and this is going to open up the Inyan really in a broader way, that the issue must be the following. That normally, May Peros, we don't go with the Meiri. May Peros, I mean, there is another way out, maybe before we see the Tosus Hashem, and that's the Rashba's Shita by May Peros. The Rashba says that if it's the Derech, to use that fruit for its juice, the derech is to cook these vegetables for soup. So if your derech is to plant these vegetables or these fruit for the mashka yotzeman, then we get the bracha of the fruit. But if it's not normal to do it for that, then you don't get a bracha of the fruit, you get a shahako. The mashka, according to the Rashba, in theory at least, we have to test this all out later, oranges that are grown for the juice oranges, according to this, should make us ha'eitz. If that were true, then one could learn the Mishnah the following way. Along the lines of the Meiri, but with a slight nuance. In other words, Al-Peir Se'ilan Mivarach Berpiyetz, meaning on them and on the juice that comes from them, in a case like what? Where it was designed for that purpose. Which for Nayayin, that even though the Yayin was also designed, that the grapes were designed for the purpose of the Yayin, you'll make a ha'eitz, you make a gun. Again, it's along the lines of the Meiri. A kopanim, we have to just wait, Avi. The Tosan Shishem goes with a different mahalach. You know what? We'll do. We'll leave this maybe for tomorrow. Take this with you. You'll have a chance to look it over more carefully. Take this, couple it with the rush that I gave you. Although, again, I don't know how much I want to go into that rush because it's a complicated sugin chulin that he alludes to. I just want you to be familiar with it and basically get from it what you could without getting too caught up in the details, because it's a little bit of a complicated inyan. But take that together with Tosan Shishen, you'll see where I'm going. So that we'll have to flesh out a little bit more tomorrow. We'll have to talk about Pasa a little bit also vis-a-vis the same issue. In other words, what's the sense of the mission? That were not for the special drop on Pas, what should you make on Pas? Hadama, even though what? It's not the Hadama, even though it doesn't seem to be the same state that the Paris Aretz, that the Chita was in, and yet you would have made Hadama.
It's also, we never talk that bread is twice processed and wine itself is just once.
Okay, but even so, the same type of question. Right, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll have to do the Taptosis. In the Mashah and the Taptosis, try to understand what the Mashah is doing there. If he's bothered by something, just learn it up well. What is the Mashah asking? What is he saying? Okay. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yes.
What, if the orange is made for orange juice, would then the orange itself, yeah, when it ate it, I would still be making the ice on it? I wouldn't get downgraded?
If it's dask and that sort of thing, maybe. I hear.
So then how could we look? You can have the Mishnah
there. No, the Mishnah will mean. So you are meaning the old statement up there.
Oh, that even the wood pole is not that
big. Maybe.
What do we doubt?
Maybe, or if it could be for both, maybe it could be.
Can you say that it means that Piros and Elon stomped Piros?
One second, that's my shoe.
It's over here.